When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast on Fifth Ave. Some big news for the Penguins this week. It happened very quickly, honestly, faster than I was expecting. So we're just going to get right into it. Brian Rust re-signed with the Penguins. Out of all of the players to re-sign, I wasn't expecting him to be first. And again, was not expecting it to happen so quickly. So Taylor, give us the details of this deal and what that means for the Penguins in terms of their current status and moving forward.
Yeah, it is a 6-year extension. He has a full no movement clause in the first 3 years, no sort of protection in the final three. And it's a $5.125 million cap hit. Other kind of interesting takeaway from it, the breakdown of the actual salary, it's front loaded, meaning like the actual dollars, it doesn't affect the cap hit, but the actual dollars they're paying him much higher in the beginning, and then it drops off to like three, you know, at the end, which is something you do. It's, you know, he's gonna be 36 when this expires. That makes him much more appealing to trade like towards the end of this, if it gets to that point. But I mean, yeah, we weren't expecting this to happen that fast. I don't think he was either, because he talked on cleanout day and he's like, we're going to see what happens in the next couple of weeks here. And it's like three, four days later, he has, you know, an extension. He said, you know, kind of came together really. There's like one day of talks and then it kind of stopped for a bit because it was his son's first birthday party. And then after this, Hunter's first birthday party, they got the deal done. But I mean, he definitely took a discount. And this really, I think, it does help to get him done first, because, I mean, projections for him, the website I like to use, it's called Evolving Hockey. It's an advanced stats site, but they do contract projections based on comparable players, you know, as far as performance, but then also age, type of player, whatever. And Rust was projected to get over $7 million. And that was kind of the thought, too, that, you know, if he would have tested free agents, you know, a team like Detroit with a lot of cap space, his hometown team, could definitely give him that kind of money. But for him to sign, you know, $5.125 million, that's huge. And I think getting that done early really helps the Penguins moving forward. Having, you know, that done moving forward, what happens with Malkin and Letang, it helps to know this now.
Of course. And, Jenna, what do you, so now that they have Brian Rust signed, a lot of people on Twitter were kind of implying or just straight out saying, well, yeah, okay, so now you can say goodbye to one or both of Malkin and Letang. How much weight does that actually hold? Is it really that impossible to think that because the Penguins signed Brian Rust for way less than he could have been making somewhere else, that we're really going to be unable to see Chris Letang and Evgeny Malkin back as part of the Penguins? What do you think about that?
I think it was kind of getting that first piece of the puzzle down. So like you have the corners of the puzzle and you have like little chunks here and there, but this was like that first big section where it's like, okay, you can kind of see the rest of the picture, see how it's kind of all forming out. Because he was the one that everybody thought, like we were saying, was going to go. It was almost like I saw some of the notifications on my phone. I'm trying to remember who was, I think Darren Drager was the first one that reported it. And I looked down, I'm like, hold on a minute here. Like it was one of those moments where you're like, I don't think a lot of people expected this. And what was funny too is I went back once everything had happened and listened to his end of the season press conference, which was a couple days prior to him signing this deal. Mm-hmm. And now a lot of the things he said, like make a little bit more sense. And of course, hindsight's always 20/20. So you can look and be like, okay, well, he was meaning this. But he had said basically that, you know, he wasn't looking to rob anyone, which we talked about. He just wanted what he deemed was a fair and a reasonable contract. And this for him, I think, was the big point. I think he wanted the money. I don't think mattered as much as the term, as the length of how many years he wanted to play here. I think that was kind of a big sticking point for him. And that was more of, hey, I want you guys to show that you want me here for this amount of time. And I think that probably was a little bit more of the negotiating factor for him, where he said, okay, if you're going to agree to the 6-year part, I'll take a little bit of a hometown discount, which he did hint at when we talked with him too. I don't entirely know what this means for Malkin and Letang, because I think you can still work something out. I mean, we've kind of been saying this too, but I just personally think that there's going to be a chance for Letang to go somewhere and get a whole lot more money. And that's what I think that's what it feels like to me it's going to come down to. But also, again, no one expected this happening this soon, this quickly. So you don't know what's going to happen. That's kind of the fun part of it too.
And going back to Russ, I mean, because he did a virtual availability after he signed the deal. And I asked him, like, you know, it seems like you could have gotten bigger offers had you, you know, hit free agency. But that ever something you're seriously, you know, actually considering? And he said, you know, in the beginning, you know, just the agent tells you, like, well, if you hit free agency, you could get this, this, and this. But beyond that, he said there was really not, you know, thought into to doing that. He talked about, you know, his family. He met his wife here. His son's born here. All that. His wife was actually, he met her because she was Trevor Daly's nanny. Like,
oh my God,
before Trevor Daly, like, got traded here. But then when Trevor Daly got traded here, you know, he brings the nanny with him.
Wow.
And then he lost the nanny because she married Brian Russ. But at the time, she also had two brothers, one in Wilkes-Barre, one in Wheeling, too. So a lot of ties. But I mean, so back to the actual discussion, just looking at their projected cap space, they have just under $24 million. And that's with 8 forwards under contract, 6 defensemen, 1 goalie on the NHL roster. So, I mean, I don't know. You figure maybe, what, $16 million, let's say, from between Malkin and Letang. Then you have to add, like, one goalie. I don't know, a couple more forwards. I don't know if you want an extra. But, like, there's ways to get this done. Because a lot of the holes you're looking to fill for forward are those, you know, bottom six type guys who are going to be around league minimum, $1 million or between that range. So it's not a given that they can't bring back one of them, especially if you move out like one of the defensemen, like a Pettersson, and free up his, you know, cap hit and then bring up PO, shave money that way. I mean, there are ways to get this done.
I do think that it's interesting, like, because, yes, obviously Brian Rust has an emotional attachment to the city of Pittsburgh, but this team has had so much potential going into the postseason the last few years, and it would be a totally different kind of thing if he were to go sign somewhere with a ton of cap space like Detroit. And how much do you think that that kind of, I guess it's kind of twofold. So, like, how much do you think that playing for a competitive team also impacts the decision that's made by guys like Brian Rust? But also, like, what does that say about the way these guys feel about this team that they're a part of, that they would be willing to take less money to kind of keep the band together? It just kind of seems like that would play sort of into the decision, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think this means he thinks the window is very much still open. I think that's what this means, because he could have gotten more money, probably the same term elsewhere. You know, and there are reasons, like Detroit, he has sentimental reasons to sign there too. So it's not just that his family kept him here, even though he said that was a big part of it, not wanting to like uproot his family and all. But I think he got, you know, a term he was comfortable with, the money he's fine with, even though he could have definitely gotten more. His family's happy, but he also has to think that he has a chance to still win here, and actually, you know, do something, even if he doesn't play those 6 years here. I know people have issue with like the term 6 years. They think that, like, I saw comments saying that was like too much, but I don't think 6 years, like, the core is going to be gone. This is By then, like, if he's still around and they're going to go into a full rebuild, then you just ship him out. He doesn't have any trade protection then. His actual salary is lower. You ship him out and then you go into the rebuild. So I just think it's something that works for both sides.
And for him, he gets to continue playing with Sidney Crosby. I mean, that right there has to just be, you know, we talk about it all the time, but for him, guys like him and Jake Guentzel, like, that has to be the greatest sell in the world. And even you look at kind of through the years, guys that have played alongside Sid, I always go to Connor Sherry just because that's where my brain goes. But, you know, you have the opportunity to play with arguably one of the greatest hockey players, if not the greatest of all time. I'm going to cough. Don't mind me.
Do what you got to do. Yeah, but it's, you're definitely right. And it's, how could you turn that down? And honestly, like, people freak out about terms all the time. Like, literally, people are always losing their minds over terms. But, like, I'm thinking back to the, and Jack Johnson is its own category, but, like, people freaked out about the Brandon Tanev thing, and he's gone. Like, if a team really wants to move a player and not keep them on the roster, they'll find a way to do it. So terms, like, the fact that they were able to get to an agreement with him and make it happen so quickly and bring, like, kind of lock him down, that's an encouraging thing, because it also means that the front office is willing to get stuff done. And that's a huge deal, because there's a lot of work for them to do this offseason with everything that's going on. Why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we can talk a little bit about Ron Hextall and what he said in his own media availability this week. And we're back. Ron Hextall also spoke with the media this week, but to be quite honest, he didn't say much of anything of substance. But Taylor, why don't you just kind of give us a brief synopsis, Ron Hextall, of what was
covered? He really
doesn't
like giving a whole lot away to the media. I mean, that's kind of his MO. He's very, like, anti-leak. And then in these, he really doesn't give a whole lot away. You know, like, he's asked about, you know, where things stand with Malkin and Letang, and he says, like, you know, you guys know I don't like negotiating through the media, is, like, the phrase he used. But he still thinks, you know, they're still talking to them. He still wants to re-sign both of them. He wants both of them to retire as Penguins in an ideal world. So not really anything new there. But honestly, not a whole lot to come out of it. Kapanen and Heinen, they're two RFAs. He seemed like they want Kapanen to be back. He said, you know, we expect him to be better next year. Rust had a minor procedure done on his knee to clean out his knee, and he said it's also informational. Nothing to worry about. He said very short recovery. It's not going to affect anything like training camp. That's pretty much it. Asked about prospects, you know, which guys can make that leap next year. He said Pustin and Bjorkqvist, Hollander, Poulin, Joseph, and those are just the guys he's named. There are probably others in there that are close, but I mean, that's the takeaways. Where do we want to start?
Let's start with Kapanen. So that's interesting that he, and obviously there's never going to be a situation where a coach or a GM comes out and says, yeah, he sucked and we don't want to bring him back. And not that anybody ever would, but you just know that they're going to obviously talk up players like that, especially players who have struggled, if there's any kind of intention one way or the other. But Jenna, we saw kind of some fire, some spark, some speed from Kapanen in the playoffs, but still was not translating. Do you think that what they're saying is kind of really what they're seeing? Does Kapanen have potential to kind of break through whatever slump that was? And is it worth it for the Pens to bring him back?
Yeah, that's a good question. That is kind of, I mean, I feel like we always say, like, that is the question, but that's going to be something that they have to answer here and see what, you know, because obviously last season, not this past season, but we saw what his abilities were. We saw what he brought to the table. We saw his speed. We saw his playmaking ability, how he was able to generate things off the rush, the chemistry that he had with Malkin that worked so well. Mm. And then it was such a letdown this season. And that was something interesting too. When we had talked with him at locker cleanouts, he had basically kind of, you know, really was hard on himself and said like, this season wasn't good for him. He did not play well. It was one of, I mean, am I crazy? He said it was like one of the worst of his career, if not the worst. Something to that extent. Yeah, he went through some tough stretches, but he wants to come into next season and have it be his best season. And not only, I mean, you look at guys and you can kind of see the emotion, you can see kind of how they feel. And you could sense that he really believes that. You could really sense that, like, he knows he has to be so much better in order to perform his contract. And does the team see that? You want to think that they do, but also it could be a really good opportunity for them to say, hey, you know, he was down last year, but look at what he was capable of a year ago. Here, let's work on a trade. Let's send him somewhere too, because of his cap hit and where the money is with him. I don't know. I feel like he is going to probably be on the team next year, but also it would not surprise me in any way, shape, or form if they found a way to wheel and deal, maybe with a Vancouver, maybe with type of team along those lines, especially because we know he's
a restricted free agent and people do get confused. They can trade his rights. That is something that happens. So yeah, that's something, if they do, I think, trade him, you know, just trade his rights, you're probably not going to get a whole lot back. You typically don't. The last RFA's rights, I remember the Penguins trading were Tyler Kennedy in like 2014, and they got back a draft pick and they used it to move up in the draft, like a couple spots, and then they drafted Tristan Jarry. So I don't know, maybe you do get stuff back sometimes. But Kapanen, so his cap hit this year was $3.2 million, and he's an RFA. And you know, when you're an RFA, there are, and you want to make a qualifying offer to a player, there aren't, there are guidelines for what it has to be. It's for 1 year. It's either one way or two way. It depends on, you know, like their history, whatever. Kapanen's would have to be one way. And it's 105% of their previous base salary. So like a slight raise from their base salary. Now they don't have to sign that deal. That's what you do to keep their negotiating rights. And then, you know, and to have the first right of refusal if anyone wants to submit an offer sheet and all that. Now Kapanen, $3.2 million cap hit. You wouldn't do 105% raise on that, right? But you look at the way his contract was structured. Most of his money was paid out in the form of signing bonuses, not base salary. His base salary was only $800,000, but the way his contract was structured. So if they want to make a qualifying offer to him, $840,000 to $1 million is the range. Like, they can't be above $1 million. It can't be below, and it has to be at least $840,000. So they could do that. Now, I mean, they can still then offer, you know, another kind of contract for him to sign, you know, somewhere around like $1 million, $2 million, something like that. And then he can play on that, or, you know, they can make that qualifying offer, and maybe he signs a qualifying offer and he plays it, you know, because he's not in a situation where he can really hold out. You know, sitting out a year is not going to help him. He does have arbitration rights, which could make things tricky. If he elects arbitration, then, you know, a salary could be awarded. It's not going to be more than it was last year, I don't think, based on the way he performed last year. And also for him, electing arbitration is a little risky, because once a player does that, they can no longer receive offer sheets. So if a team does want to take a chance on him in restricted free agency, they would no longer be allowed to do that. But either way, I think making a qualifying offer to him, no brainer, just good asset management, whether it's to keep his rights to then trade or maybe hope some team wants to get an offer sheet, because with a salary that low, they wouldn't have to give up too many draft picks in an offer sheet. Mm. You know, this isn't like an Aho, we're talking about like several first round picks. But I think just it would be good asset management, but then also you can get him back pretty cheap. And capping in at like $1 million, like, you absolutely take that.
Yeah, it's not, it's, you know, it's worth it to at least see what you can do. And then maybe even if you keep him, see what he can potentially be capable of. Because you, Jenna, mentioned that he did have chemistry with Malkin in not this past season, but
2021, that season. He did. And Malkin was out for the first part of the season. So it's possible he just, hockey is such a mental sport. So, you know, it could have been just like totally different and gotten his head after he whiffed a few times. You never know, but that is very helpful to know, because I have no clue how restricted, unrestricted, all that stuff works against each other. But yeah, we really didn't learn much from the GM in this one, but
he did make a joke that the reason they gave Russ the contract when he did was because it was Hunter's birthday. So I got me to thinking, Malkin's son's birthday is May 31st. Mark that down. And I tweeted that. I'm like, so that's when it's going to happen. And everyone's like, oh, that's not good then, because Chris Letang's son's birthday is in November. I looked into it. Chris Letang's daughter, July 5th. So Malkin's signing on May 31st. Chris Letang.
All right. So we have a brief outline. Perfect.
It is. Free agency is later this year, July 13th. So that's going to happen. It's not July 1st anymore. So we're not, cutting it a little close, but anything for Victoria's birthday.
And we're back. We have some news from around the league as well, because obviously Florida, the team that I thought was going to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, done, swept by the reigning champion, back-to-back champions, the Lightning. Yeah, so there's that. Florida's gone. They're swept. That was a bit of a bummer of a series, because I thought that it was going to be so much better than it was.
Power play.
Like, everyone thought Bobrovsky was going to be the problem. Like, and no, Bobrovsky's fine. He's fine. It's their top power play that blows it for him.
Oh, my God. Jeez. And they were, fifth in the league this season in power play? Like, they weren't
something
bad.
Insane.
Yeah. These games, they weren't even, interesting, exciting. Like, we're talking about, we're getting Battle of Alberta, Battle of Florida, the same round. Battle of Alberta living up to the hype. Battle of Florida, that
one. Big flop.
That stunk.
Mm-hmm. Like a sad horn, though. Wah, wah.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why we're kind of rolling. A lot of people are rolling out a three-peat. I think just because you're like, oh, they can't do it three times in a row. It's like, no, they might do it three times in a row, because
they're that good. Yeah,
they're even dealing with injuries. And Vasilevsky is unbeatable. So I don't know. I think Tampa might be my pick now after that.
It looks like they have it in them. Seriously, which that annoys me, because I didn't want to see them go back to back to back. But they're just really good, and they have a fantastic dude in net. Like, it just, and it's so hard when the goalie is playing so well. Yeah.
I keep seeing things of we need a Vasilevsky versus Shesterkin Eastern Conference final, and don't want to put the cart before the horse, but that, I mean, it'd kind of be,
that would be epic.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That'd be fun.
Be ridiculous. But we've said too, whoever's going to come out of the East, it was going to be a gauntlet anyway. I mean, the West in itself is phenomenal, but my God, it was gonna be, you feel like whoever was coming out of the East regardless is gonna be dead by the time they get to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, missing limbs, dead. And it's been obviously kind of that way, because Jacob Trouba is still on his same old garbage. And the league is doing nothing, so that's not helpful, but he, dirty hit yet again. What is going on with that dude?
Yeah, it's it was on Max Domi in the neutral zone, open ice. He just kind of launches his entire body into Domi. Now Domi is falling, but he does just launch his body into him, and it looks his elbow is going up. It looks a lot like it's hit on Crosby. It looks a lot like the hit on Kyra, and then the hit on McKinnon earlier in the year. At what point, there's obvious head contact. At what point does intent not matter in the league rules, and do they make that change? Because you think like a high stick. If you high stick someone in the face, it's a high stick. It doesn't mean it matter if you mean to or not. But a headshot, it's like, well, did they mean to do it or did they not? If intent is taken into account, and like, oh, what's the principal point of contact? And guys are just going to keep doing this and pushing the line. Yeah. And like, Truba obviously has a history of doing that because that's for what, all this season. So
yeah. And if he's not getting penalized, if he's not getting called for it, he's gonna be like, all right, they're not gonna call me, I'm not gonna get in trouble, so why wouldn't I use this to my advantage? Why wouldn't I? And again, you don't entirely know the logic, but like, why wouldn't he do that? I also found it very intriguing, though, that once again, this came after Gerard Gallant had something to say about the lack of physicality among his players.
Yeah. Well, what did he say? Like, we have the guys that can handle that, like talking about, like, it was the game, like talking about like Reeves, like, oh, like, like basically threatening to unleash Reeves, but I don't know. We're not seeing Reeves. We're just seeing, like, because Reeves really wasn't that much of a factor in the Penguins season either. We're seeing the guys like Truba take out opposing players, not the guys you'd think.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just happening in the East. Obviously, there's been a whole thing with the hit after hit on Nazem Kadri over there in the West. Like, these, it's just unbelievable. What is going on?
The Kadri Binnington thing is like, people are talking about like Kadri's history. I you know, in the past he has had dirty hits or up, but this, what, injuring Binnington, he's going for the puck, like he's trying to score. He's not like, and you slow it down and you watch the replay, maybe it looks worse than it is, but I mean, he has like a millisecond. He's not thinking like, oh, I'm gonna hurt Binnington right here. No, he's trying to score. It's unfortunate what happened, but I think, yeah, the backlash Kadri got for it, and a lot of like, I think it was his sister maybe that posted a lot of like the racist DMs they've gotten. It's just disgusting. But I was just saying, but then like also you see he is getting, you know, the game after that, they are clearly targeting him, going after him on the ice, and then he responds with a hat trick. So
and it's just like the racist comments, the racist attacks, it's disgusting. There's absolutely no place for that in this game. Say whatever negative thing you want when your opponent, you know, intent or not, hurts your goaltender. Don't do that. That's just, and Craig Berube, the head coach at the Blues, on Wednesday before the game, came, you know, in his morning skate availability, was talking just about how he's not on social media, but like he's heard about all this stuff and like it's absolutely not okay. It's just like there's absolutely no place for that at all. Like, say your negative criticism, say whatever you want, do not bring race into it. Some of the comments have just been absolutely horrific. These direct messages, like, just no, just not a time or a place.
And like, it's his sister. I mean, it was like, it wasn't him that posted it too. Like, like they're going after like his family and crazy. It's a game.
Exactly. It's a game. Oh my God. And I think that's where everybody just kind of like, those, when those comments are made, people just completely lose sight of that. It's a game. Calm down. There is no need to ever, ever say anything like that, especially not over something that literally does not affect your life.
No.
Just unbelievable. But
speaking of hits, should we transition to Dominic Simone?
Oh, no.
It's kind of not funny, but like, Dominic Simone, he's over in he was over in the World Championships. They're happening in Helsinki in Finland. He was on, I think he was playing like the third line for Czechia. That's what you call the Czech Republic now. That's what they're going by. He got kicked off. Well, they parted ways. It was like a mutual thing, but I think if he hadn't agreed to leave, they would have just kicked him off. He got in a fight with a teammate, and he initiated the fight. Like, he fought Filip Hronek, defenseman from Detroit. Like, Hronek's still on the team because it's Dom initiated the fight. And I read that. And I mean, like, Dominic Simone, you mean like the most mellow, soft-spoken guy from that locker room? Just incredibly surprising. His family did issue a statement to one of the Czech outlets confirming it and saying, you know, it was a really tough year for him, but just really surprising to see Dominic Simone, of all people, getting a fight with a teammate.
Yeah, never would have guessed that yeah. would happen.
I don't know.
If you had that one on your bingo card, congratulations.
Yeah. I don't know. Showing he has some truculence, he can play long pants hockey. Audition. Maybe he comes back.
Is this Dom Simone's cry to come back to Pittsburgh?
I don't know. Honestly, you know, because they brought him back the second time already. When he got traded, I think like a couple of us were joking like at the rink that day on trade deadline day, like he'll be back.
Finds his way back here.
If it's meant to be, it'll always find its way back to one another.
It was meant to be.
Oh my goodness, the official motto of Dominic Simone in Pittsburgh.
Trade him to Anaheim. Other news out of the Czech Republic, though. Jágr.
Yeah.
I have that post up if you want to read it. I mean, I can it'll show you. He got a little car accident here.
Yikes.
He's fine. He got hit by a train, it sounds like. A tram. He accidentally pulled out in front of the tram. Didn't see it coming. You look at the picture. I mean, it hit him, you know, driver's side door, head on. Looks pretty bad. He said he's fine. No injuries. He had a post the other day too, about how he's looking forward to next season. So he's not retiring yet. He's still playing.
He's going to play for all eternity. He's never calling it quits.
Yeah.
Is Jágr Benjamin Button?
I mean,
you know what? Maybe.
He's 50 now, yeah. I don't know. I mean, he was still put up points too for his Czech team. I know, like, I think more so last year. Like, he's not playing every game, and some games he is out there just like a limited fourth line role, but they're putting that around the top power. I mean, he can play as long as he wants for that team. He owns the team, it's his team. Like, he can play as long as he wants to. I don't know, but. Former line mate of Dominic Simone's at Worlds. You know that? for a brief time.
glad to know that he's doing well in that.
Yeah.
But also, like, and I don't mean this to sound terrible, but like, he's somebody that if, like, again, gets in a car accident, it looks terrifying, and you're like, oh yeah, he walked away. Like, totally fine.
Yeah, not of course.
Yeah.
Yep. Superpowers, that man. He's kind of like feels untouchable. He just does whatever he wants.
I mean, and so like the Penguins are definitely going to retire his number someday. Like Mario said mm-hmm. that much at the NHL 100, you know, the top 100 players mm-hmm. for the 100th year. But like he has to retire first. Like they can't, you know, because they would have like some kind of ceremony, you know, banner raising where he's, you know, ideally he would be there at his banner night, but. If he's still playing, he can't do that. So,
oh my goodness.
I don't know. You might see like 87, 71 in the rafters before 68 because he's not going to retire. So.
he's the hero that we need, not the one we deserve, but he is he's something else. That man. Oh my god. Oh Lord, I love it. Well, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, we drop new episodes every Thursday, so make sure you're subscribed, whether it's on a podcast platform or it's on YouTube. We are all over the place. We'll see you next week for another new episode.